Anyway, but we are going to continue today in a message I began last week entitled Leaving Nets. And last week we walked through this passage of Scripture and we noted four things regarding nets. And this morning I want to begin and serve as my introduction, just a quick review of what we talked about. So let's look at it. Number one, last week we talked about the representation of nets. And if you remember, we talked about how the nets that these men had, that they actually ended up forsaking. These nets pictured some things in their lives. Number one, it pictured their interest. It was what they were interested in. They loved to fish. They were passionate about fishing. It also pictured their income. They didn't just love to fish, but it's how they made a living. And so when we talk about nets, we're talking about something they were interested in, something that was their livelihood. But it was thirdly, we talked about how that they represented the investment that they had made in their life. These nets weren't free. They had spent money to purchase them, and they tried to take care of them. That's why that the Bible says that they were mending their nets. They were trying to make sure that they were still useful for them. And then the other thing that we noted about the representation of the nets was that it represented their intelligence. When we looked at these nets, it pictured what these men knew. They knew how to fish. They knew how to handle a ship. They knew when to fish and where to fish, and they knew how to navigate the waters. And so these nets were representative of those things. And the nets basically pictured what had their heart, what had their hands, and what had the hours of their day. And we talked about how that all of us have nets in our own life, things that things that have our heart, things that have our hands, that our hands are a hold of, and things that take the hours of our day. But then we also talked about something else. We talked about the restriction of nets. And nets by design are made to confine. They're made to capture. And even though these nets that these men had weren't sinful and they weren't bad, there's nothing sinful about going fishing, they weren't sinful and they weren't bad, but they still could serve as a hindrance to their spiritual growth. And just like you and I, we have nets in our lives and things that aren't sinful and they're not bad, but they can hinder us from growing spiritually. When you think about the fact that these nets had their heart and they had their hands and they had the hours of their day, Jesus desired something different for their heart. Jesus desired something different in their hands, and he desired something different for them to spend the hours of their day. And these nets were going to serve as a hindrance to them because nets restrict. Then we notice the third thing. The third thing we noticed last week is that Jesus comes and he makes a request to these men. And he makes a twofold request. He asks them, number one, to follow him. He says, follow me. And he says, I will make you to become fishers of men. And we talked about the fact that Jesus' invitation to them is the same invitation that he makes to you and me today and makes to all the world. The invitation is he says, I want you to follow me. And he says, if you will follow me, then I will make you. I will transform your life into something beyond anything you could ever imagine. And certainly he did that same thing with the disciples. But we also noted not only that he asked them to come and follow him with the promise that he would make them to become fishers of men, we noted what he didn't say. Jesus never mentioned their nets. Jesus didn't go to them and say, you know what, boys, if y'all just quit handling those nets, then I could do something with your life. But rather, Jesus understood that if they would follow him, then leaving and forsaking the nets would be a byproduct of that. And as you and I seek to win people, as we seek to reach people, we don't need to start with the things that they need to give up in their life. Jesus will take care of that. We need to start with the fact that they need to follow him. And if people are following Jesus, then all these other things Jesus will take care of, and they'll be naturally forsaken. Well, that leads us to the fourth and final thing we looked at last week, and that's the releasing of nets. And that's where I want to begin today, and I want to further elaborate on this process of releasing our nets and look at some of the challenges that they faced, as well as some of the challenges that you and I are going to face as we seek to release the nets in our own lives. So this morning, may the Lord guide us as we seek to understand more about leaving nets. So let's begin talking about it more at length as we look at the releasing of their nets. And let's note three things. Number one, let's talk about the order of releasing. As we think about the releasing of nets, let's talk about the order. Now, we talked about it briefly last week, but it's so important that it's worth mentioning again. When we think about the releasing of nets and letting their nets in our life go, the order is paramount. We cannot change the order. In verse 17, if you look at it here in Mark chapter number 1, Jesus comes and he makes that twofold request that I mentioned to you earlier. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." But then we look to verse 18 and we see their response. In verse 18 it says, "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Now, we didn't do this last week, but you may want to do this today. You may want to go right beside the word forsook and put a little number 1 beside of that in your Bible. And then you may want to go to the end of that verse. It says, "And followed him," and put a little number 2 beside or before followed. That way, as you go back and you read that, you know that that's the process. The process begins with forsaking your net first and then following him. You remember last week we used the illustration of if I had a physical net up here with me, a large, thick rope style net, and I was trying to drag it behind me as I was trying to follow someone, that net would get snagged on everything. And I would have to go back and I would have to unhook that net. I'd have to untangle that net. Well, that's why we first have to let the net go and then follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people's lives, so many people are hindered spiritually. I sincerely believe this. I believe there are so many people in the world today who have a desire to know Jesus Christ, who desire to go deeper in their faith with Jesus Christ, but they refuse to let go of their net. And because they won't let go of their net, they try to drag that net along with them. And that net serves as nothing but a continual hindrance to them following the Lord Jesus Christ. And God goes on, and they are continually falling further and further and further behind. And so as we think about releasing the nets, it begins with this order. They first forsake the nets, but then secondly, then we can follow the Lord. So we see the order of releasing, but let's notice a second thing this morning. Secondly, I want you to see the obstacles of releasing. The obstacles of releasing. Now look, this is easy for me to stand up here and preach about. It may be easy for you to listen to or listen to even if it was in a Sunday school lesson. But the reality is when we start talking about these nets in our lives, we're talking about something that has our heart. We're talking about something that has our hands. And we're talking about something that has the hours of our day. Anything that is that entangled in a person's life is not going to be given up very easily. And it wasn't given up easily for these disciples. It was a challenge, and they faced some obstacles as they released these nets. It took courage for them to do what they did. So let's talk about 4 obstacles that they faced in releasing their nets. Number 1, they faced the obstacle of family. They faced the obstacle of family. Now notice something that happens here. If we're not careful, we'll read over it. Look here at Mark chapter number 1, verse 19. It says, "And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother." So James and John are brothers. "And it says, in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him." Now here they are. We've got James and John. They're 2 brothers. Jesus comes, and he says, "I want you to follow me." And what happens? In verse 20, it says they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Here's James and John. James and John are working and they're mending their nets. And here comes Jesus and he says, "Gentlemen, I want you to come follow after me and I will make you to become fishers of men." So when they decided to leave their net, they didn't just leave their net, but they left their father Zebedee. And they left the hired servants that they worked with side by side all the time. They left them in the ship and they went to follow after him. You see, sometimes when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, other people in our lives don't want to follow him as much as we want to follow him. And the reality is, one of the obstacles that we face when we talk about releasing our nets is because when we release our nets, it often means that relationships in our life change. And sometimes those relationships are very close to home. Sometimes it means that we won't have as close a relationship with family members as we used to because we want to follow Jesus and they didn't. There's nothing here that says that Jesus was isolating to James's father or to John's father or to these other hired servants. They could have gone and followed Jesus with them, but they didn't have the same desire. And there will be people in your life. There will be friends. There will be family. There will be co-workers. There will be others around that you really love and you have a great relationship with. But Jesus tugs on your heart and he says, I want you to follow me. I will make you to become a fisher of men. And I'll change your life. And in order for you to follow him, when you release that net, you'll face the obstacle of those relationships not being as close as they once were. The disciples faced the obstacle of family. They also faced the obstacle of fear. They faced the obstacle of fear. Now notice something that happens here. In verse 20, the Bible says that they left the ship. Is that not what it says? It says, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So get this picture in your mind of James and John stepping out of this ship onto the shore, and now they're following Jesus. Well, notice what verse 21 says. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Well, they're following Jesus. So if Jesus went into the synagogue, they went into the synagogue. So get the picture in your mind. Here are these fishermen, these uneducated fishermen that step off the ship and walk directly into the synagogue. They went from being in a situation where they were in control. Man, they knew about fishing. They knew about navigating waters. They knew about where to fish, when to fish, and how to fish, and what to do. They knew how to mend nets. These were intelligent men. But their intelligence was in fishing, not in the synagogues. So they go from a situation of feeling like they know everything and they've got confidence to now they walk into a place full of scribes and scholars, and now they're surrounded by people that no doubt were intimidating to them. Sometimes when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in a place where we feel out of place. Sometimes in a church, as there's new ministries come and as new ministries arise and you're asked to serve in a different role, sometimes it means you step out of your comfort zone. And you say, man, I've never done this before. Man, I've never been a part of this. And it's fearful. And there's anxiety there. Don't you know that these fishermen fell out of place with Jesus standing there with the Son of God and surrounded by all these scribes and Pharisees? I know I wouldn't have wanted to say a word. But leaving your nets, you face the obstacle of family, and sometimes you have to leave family. Sometimes you face the obstacle of overcoming fear in your life and stepping into a situation that's out of your comfort zone. But then there's another obstacle they faced. They faced the obstacle of finances. You remember I told you that these disciples, they loved to fish, but they didn't just fish because they loved it. They fished for a living. And when they left these nets, you know what else they left? They left their full-time job. When they left their nets, they left their own ability to sustain themselves, and they put every bit of the confidence of their financial future and their family's future in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? When they left their nets, they took a large pay cut to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? What I'm saying is that sometimes to follow the Lord means that it may not be as profitable for you financially as it would be not to follow him. And that's an obstacle that you have to overcome. It was an obstacle that these men had to overcome in their homes, with their friends. It was an adjustment to their life. And if you follow the Lord Jesus, sometimes leaving that net may mean that it's not financially prosperous for you to do, but it's far more spiritual prosperous for you to do. The fourth and final obstacle that they faced was their flesh. It was their flesh. Now you remember I've told you time and time again, when we read the Bible, we read about these characters and scriptures, and if we're not careful, we apply supernatural qualities to them. But they were just men. And the fact that they left those nets didn't mean that they no longer had a desire for fishing. They still love to fish. They still love to go out there. They love the smell of the water. They love to see the fog burn off of the top of the water. They love to row out when the water was just like a sheet of glass and see the bow of their ship break the water and see the ripples go out. They love to grab that net and tug on it and feel the weight of those fish. They loved all that stuff. They still did, even though they left the net behind. But here's the struggle. The struggle is, even though they left the net, their flesh still wanted to be with the net. But their spirit said, no, we need to be with Jesus. It's never an easy thing to take steps of faith. It's never an easy thing to progress in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because your flesh desires to do what it wants to do, but your spirit desires to do what God wants you to do. And these men faced that same obstacle. These men wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to be made fishers of men. They wanted God to transform their life, and they had to overcome that fleshly struggle, that fleshly battle of wanting to still be fishing, but knowing that they wanted Jesus to change their life. The obstacles that these men faced in releasing their nets are the same obstacles that you and I will face. And we've got to overcome them. And one of the best ways to overcome the obstacles is to look at the opportunity. And that's the third thing I want you to see about releasing of their nets. The opportunity of releasing. They had some things that they had to overcome. But the things that they lost were far outweighed by the things that they gained. These men had an opportunity, because they released their nets, to know Jesus better than anyone else. These men had an opportunity to walk and to talk and to eat with Jesus every single day. Same opportunity you and I have. You think about it. Every day for his earthly ministry, they got to walk with him. They got to talk with him. When he sat down to eat, they got to sit and eat and talk with him. You see, don't be mistaken. Scripture doesn't give us, God didn't give us everything that happened. He gave us everything that he wanted us to know. But there are lots of conversations that Jesus had with his disciples that we don't know anything about, just between him and them. There are lots of things that they got to know about him because they made that decision. See, it was not only a great opportunity to get to know him and spend time with him every day, but they got to go with him to special places. The Bible says when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a place that he went often. Jesus took the disciples to his prayer place, and they got to go. Even when he goes to pray that night, who did he take with him? He took the 12 disciples, and then he took Peter, James, and John in a little further, close to him where he was praying. Nobody else had that opportunity. And they wouldn't have had that opportunity had they not left their nets. They got to witness miracles. Sometimes they even got to participate in miracles. Who was it that Jesus had that wore a path all the way to him as he continually broke that bread and broke that lad's lunch, and he kept handing it to who? His disciples. And his disciples got to go and distribute it to 5,000 people, and they got to walk right back. They got to handle the miracle of what Jesus did, all because they were willing to release their net. You say, preacher, is that it? No, actually, there's something else that they got to do. Flip just a page or so over to Mark chapter number 6. You're in Mark chapter number 1. Go to Mark chapter number 6. Talking about the opportunities that they gain from releasing their nets. In Mark chapter number 6, Jesus has called the 12 to him, and he's called others. And in verse 7, it says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. Then notice what it says again over here in verse number 12, Mark chapter 6. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Verse 13, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. You see, it wasn't just that they got to be a part of the miracles that Jesus did, but because they were willing to release that net and follow him, Jesus empowered them and strengthened them, and they in and of themselves got to see the power of God work through them. Beloved, that's a great opportunity. That's what happens when we're willing to release our nets. And the reality sometimes is we get focused on the obstacles. Like, man, I don't want to leave that. I don't want to leave that. But don't look at the obstacles. Look at the opportunity to know him. There's nothing more rewarding. There's nothing better in the world than to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't draw close enough to him to have God do all of that if we're still dragging around our net. So we need to release our nets. But I want you to notice a second and final thing this morning about leaving nets. It's the last point we're going to make in this message. And it's the reoccurrence of nets. The reoccurrence of nets. You and I have understood this morning, we know what nets represent in our life. We know that nets can be restricting. We know that Jesus has invited us. He's requested us to follow Him and that He'll make us fishers of men. We know that we need to release these nets, and there are going to be some obstacles, but there's great opportunity. But one other thing you need to understand, if you're willing to release your net today, you need to understand something. And you need to understand the recurrence of nets. I wish I could tell you that once you let that net go in your life, it's gone forever and ever to be seen again. But that's not the case. The nets we have in our life must often be released time and time again. And we see that same principle true in the life of the disciples. Let me point out two things to you about the reoccurrence of nets. Number one, let's talk about the return of their nets. The return of their nets. And you can go with me to John chapter 21. We're done in Mark chapter 1. Go to John chapter 21, if you would please. It's right there in the Gospels. Go through Luke, go through John. It's the last chapter in the gospel record of John, John chapter 21. And in John chapter 21, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been risen, and He's actually already appeared to His disciples. But when He appeared to His disciples, He didn't stay with them continually. He would appear, and then He would go away. And what we read here in John chapter 21 is a time when Jesus is not presently with His disciples. I want to read here verses 1 through 8, and then I want to comment on some things and show you the return of their nets. John chapter 21, let's begin in verse 1. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself." Verse 2, "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing." Well, I've been there. Have you been there? I've been there. "They caught nothing." Verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered Him, No. And He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes." Verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And now when Simon heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes." Now, here's what happens. Jesus is not with the disciples when we start this story. And Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." And the other disciples said, "I'm going with you, Pete. Let's go fish." They go fish and they go out all night and they don't catch anything. And when the morning comes, they look and they see a man standing on the shore. They don't know that it's Jesus. And the man cries out, "Children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything?" And they said, "No." And notice what Jesus says in verse 6. And He said unto them, "Cast the what? The net." He said, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And they cast the net on the right side, and the Bible says that there were so many fishes that they couldn't hardly hold it for the multitude. And then again, at the end of verse 8, it says, "As the other disciples came in the little ship, they were dragging the net with the fishes." Here we have the return of their nets. They're fishing on the Sea of Tiberias. You say, what's the Sea of Tiberias look like? That's what the Sea of Tiberias looks like. Now, of course, that's not in Jesus' day. They didn't have a carnival liner parked over to the side when He was out there fishing. It would have probably been nice, but they didn't have it yet. But you can get an idea of what the shoreline looks like. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is the same as the Sea of Galilee. It's just sometimes they call it the Sea of Tiberias because of that specific area. But you can imagine a ship being out into the water and Jesus standing there and calling out to them. And Jesus calls out to them and He mentions their nets. And the reality is this. They had previously forsaken their nets to follow Him. But now, through all of the confusion and the frustration that was surrounding the cross, and even though they had seen the resurrected Christ, their natural instinct, their flesh, had a desire to go back and take hold of the net again. And that's what they did. And that's the same thing that happens to you and I. Our hearts and our hands and our hours begin to be taken over again by the nets in our life. And even though their fishing wasn't sinful, it wasn't immoral, it was going to be a hindrance to what Jesus had for their life. You and I have to understand, if we lay a net down today, we may have to lay that same net again down again in 6 months. We may have to lay that same net again down again in a year or 2 years, because our flesh wants to grab hold of that. But Jesus has something else for our heart and our hands and for the hours of our day. Let's notice the final thing, and that's the response of the Nazarene. There's something to learn about what Jesus says. Jesus never rebuked them for fishing. Sometimes we hear that preached, but I don't read that in Scripture. It wasn't what he had for them to do, but he didn't call them and say, "What are you boys doing out there fishing? I done had you in my seminary for 3.5 years. Get back here and burn those nets." He never did that. It was their natural instinct. It wasn't sinful, but he knew in his omniscience it wasn't what he had for them to do. He never rebuked them for fishing, but he knew that he had something better for them. So what does Jesus do? Well, after his discord with Peter in verses 15 through 17, when we look at verse 19, it says, "This he spake, signifying by what death he should be glorified, or that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." When you and I go back like the disciples, and we take and allow our heart and our hands and the hours of our day to be tangled again with the nets that we previously laid down, Jesus comes to us and says the same thing that he says when we release the nets initially. He says, "Follow me. Follow me." Beloved, we can try our best as church leaders. We can try our best as just individual Christians to make ourselves release those nets just because we know we need to do it. But the reality is this: our motivation has to be to follow Jesus. That has to be our desire. We have to want more from Him. I want more out of my relationship with Him. I want God to reveal Himself to me more in His Word. I want Him to speak to me more through His Word. I want to hear Him more. I want to walk like Him more. I want to talk like Him more. I want to see His work more accomplished in my life. And that has to be the motivation. Following Him is the only thing that will cause you to say, "You know what? I'm going to release this net again. Because I know if I do, God's got something greater for these hands. He's got more that He wants to put in my heart. And I can spend the hours of my day working for eternity." The message today is this: we all have nets that we need to release so that we can follow Jesus. And when we go to release them, we're going to face some obstacles, but the opportunities far outweigh the obstacles. And when we do let go of those nets, don't be surprised if they show up again. But when they do, listen to the voice of God saying, "Follow me. Lay that down and follow me. I've got more for you. Just follow me." Whatever nets are in your life today, may God help you to leave them, to follow Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer.